Great. Can anybody guess what we're going to be talking about today? Oh, glad you and I are listening. What's the title? Let's build stronger. Stronger. What is it? Great. Do we mean it? Is it something that we want? Church, do we want to be stronger, better together or not? Because if we do, the message I have today is you have got a personal responsibility for this to happen. It's not about the pastor, it's not about the elder, it's not about the leadership team. Each of us has a personal, individual responsibility to see this happen. It's not just down to the pastor, and he'll make it happen for us. Good old Pastor Robin, he'll make it happen. It will not happen if it's just me. You see, in our Christian life, it's very easy to talk the talk. You met those Christians? Oh, they can talk the talk. They're brilliant, aren't they? Come up on the stage, give a fantastic message. Everyone's so excited. They get off the stage and they're a different person. They can talk the talk, but walking the walk's a different matter. And I want to say to us, if we want to be stronger, better together, 2022, which I believe is the most pivotal year we have ever faced in our life, in this church, in the history of this church, is the most pivotal year. What happens this year will determine what happens to come for future generations. I'm convinced of it. Nehemiah knew himself that there had to be a change in the nation. There had to be a personal revival for the moral reforms to happen. He had to get a response from the people that wasn't just they recognised their sin. They acknowledged that they were sinners. As the scriptures were being read, they go, do you know what? I'm far from God. I need to put something right. It wasn't just the emotion, that the tears, the weeping. That was not enough. It's not enough just to know we're sinners. It's not enough just to know that we sinned against God. It's not enough just to say sorry. Nehemiah knew that they had to do some kind of formal commitment to God. And we're going to look at that very briefly today, and we're going to look at the application of that with us today. Now, something had already happened. We haven't touched on much of this, but a little bit, we talked about it last week. I'm not going to go into depth. I'm just going to summarize it. But as the scriptures read, something happened from within. There was a spiritual transformation that came right from inside. There was this change, and the people wanted to change. They wanted to be different. It wasn't just that they were sorry for their sins. They actually wanted to be a different person than they were before. You know, sometimes people want change, don't they? They want everything to change. They want the pastor to preach for less time. They want the services to be longer. They want the worship to be longer. They want the worship to be shorter. They want so much change. They want everybody to change, but the person that they don't want them to change the most is themselves. We need to change. Each of us needs a spiritual transformation in our life. These people, they were dead to God. They might as well just have been dead. They had no relationship with him. It was all religious. It was all religion. But then something happened. And now it became relationship. Relational. Who wants relation, not religion? I don't want us to be religious. Please, let's not build a religious church here. Let's not build something that's religious. Let's build something that's relational. Relationship with our God, with each other. These are our brothers and sisters. And with people outside that don't yet know Jesus. You know, this authentic move of God that happened in Nehemiah's time, it lasted for four generations. It prepared people for the birth of Jesus Christ. What happened in this 12 years, in that 12-year period, changed the face of that nation, getting them ready so that there would be people ready to receive Jesus Christ. Godly people, like his mom and dad. They were like that because of part of what happened in Nehemiah's time. Nehemiah 9:38, and because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write on it, our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. So what has happened is God has pointed out five areas. We're going to look at them very briefly. They're not all relevant to us today, but we're just going to look at them to get some context. But God had laid on their heart five areas that they needed to change. God had said to them, through the priests, probably through Ezra, there's some things we need to deal with, guys. There's some things I need you to do, you need to commit to, and I need you to change. And so Nehemiah and 21 priests and 17 Levites and 44 leaders of Jerusalem, they come together and they say, God, we want more of you. God, we want to take your word, your written word, your law, and we want to live it. We don't just want to know it. We want to apply it to our lives. And we want to do everything that we can do to be changed so that we can have a personal revival in our nation. And these men, on behalf of the people, they make a seal and they commit to it. So, five intentions that they did. First of all, the people committed to, should I say. Some of these may or may not be relevant to us. I just want to talk about them just for context and maybe speak a little bit into them before we come into the New Testament to apply what I believe God is saying to us today. The first of all is the family, Nehemiah 10 and verse 30. We would not give our daughters as wives to the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. So what has happened historically is godly men, Jewish men, looked upon these beautiful Canaanite women. They were gorgeous. And they looked outside their faith. And they looked for women that were pretty attractive. And they said, like Samson, go and get them for me. And they brought pagan wives into the relationship. Pagan wives that used to do prostitution for basically worshipping their pagan gods. They brought them into the marriage relationship. And of course, the women, as they do, influence the husband. Isn't that right, ladies? You want to get your own way. You know, you find ways to do it. Is that true? No. You need a lot to learn there, Hilda. No. And their wives would influence their husbands to turn away from God and to worship their pagan gods. So one of their rituals that had happened in the past, and the men had turned away from God, and this is why they're in the predicament that they are. They're in this predicament because the men and the families have turned away from God and they're paying the consequences of it. But one of the things they used to do in the pagan Canaanite rituals, they would take their children, the women that give birth to a child, and they'd take them to a place called Gehenna, which is a place in Jerusalem, and they would light a fire. Gehenna means hell. That's where we get the word hell from. And they would throw their baby in a fire. Is it any wonder why they were so far from God? No, surely a woman couldn't influence her husband to do that. Yeah, they did. And so the influences of an ungodly person in a godly man, in this instance, they have said, we are no longer going to live like that. We're never going to go back there. We're going to keep our marriages with God at the center, and we're going to marry within our faith. You see the importance of having God at the center of our marriage. So important. Second thing is the Sabbath, Nehemiah 10:31. If the people of the land brought wares or any grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day, and we would not forgo the seventh year produce and the exacting of every debt. And so what they did was they abstained from any commercial activity on Sunday. Now, it's difficult for us because some people have to work on Sundays. We have doctors and nurses that have to work on Sundays. We have people today that are expected to work on a Sunday. But what these people said was, and they brought back from Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. They were going to remember the Sabbath day. They were going to remember this is a day that is dedicated to worship God, to go and spend time in the temple, to bring their tithes and offerings into the temple, to pray, to get on their knees, to hear the word of God. And that's what they did. Now for us, the Sabbath is a day that we should enjoy Jesus. Yes? Am I just talking different language here, like Hebrew or something like that? The Sabbath is a day for us to enjoy Jesus. The Have we enjoyed ourselves today? The Sabbath is a time where we come, we set aside and we think about Jesus, our Saviour, our Lord. Now, we do that every day, but we come together to worship. And this is why it's so important that I'm calling us back to worship, not because I want bottoms on seats, but I want us to do a corporate worship together and seek God's face together. But maybe we need to rethink what happens on a Sunday. That Sunday, we don't just fit in church with our day, but actually we're intentional and purposeful, and we are relational, not religious. Please don't be religious about Sunday. I don't want to go back there. I remember, you know, when you were growing up as a kid, you didn't smoke, you didn't go out with unsaved girls, and you didn't go to the cinema. Very religious. I thought 2 out of 3 wasn't bad, actually, when I was growing up. I won't tell you which one I did, but there we are. So, let's make the Sabbath our day, intentional, relational, purposeful. And let's seek God. Some of us may have to work on Sundays. We understand that. I don't take this as a work day, even though I'm working. This is that I'm just giving to the Lord. We don't get paid on the Sunday, by the way. Manuel, Joshua, we don't get paid for Sundays. We do it because we want to be intentional in relationship with Jesus. That makes sense? Now move on. Thank you. Somebody says hallelujah. The temple tax. Now, we don't have a temple tax here, but in the temple tax in those days, it was law that each Jewish male would bring money to pay temple tax. And the temple tax was for upkeeping of the temple. So they've got a nice new temple being built, and they introduced a temple tax that all the men would pay. So men, if you're over 12, there you are, got a job. Ladies, you didn't have to worry. It's great, just let the men do it. As Christians, we can't expect anybody just to maintain this building for us. We love this building. We can't expect anybody to do it. If we want a nice building, we need people to maintain it. Simple as that. Don't want to go into much more detail on that, but just make a connection there. Dedication of the firstborn. Ooh, they were told to come and dedicate their firstborn. Now, if you go back to Exodus, you'll see why. Every firstborn child, every animal, firstborn animal, had to be brought back to the temple. Now, they all belong to God. Every firstborn. So by rights, you should now give up your child to God. But what they did was, they introduced a thing called this redemption fee. You buy back that firstborn. So Lydia was my firstborn. If I'd have lived in those days, I would have taken to it. Slightly changed after the calf in the Old Testament and the way it worked, because it would have been in the firstborn male. But I would take Lydia, I would take her to the priest, and I would give the priest 5 shekels. Yeah, my shekels are gone. 5 shekels, and I would redeem her back and pay her for it. But the process was for them to say that every life is a gift from God. They were honouring that everything comes from God. Now, what is the importance of that for us today? And I do want to just think about this, is to remind us actually that everything we have and everything that we are is from God. Do you believe that? And we have been redeemed by a price. You know what that price is? Price is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. God paid for us with his firstborn. This is how important our relationship with God is. We are bought with a price. And I'd like you to think about that today. If anything at these 5 points of the Old Testament, when you think you are bought with a price, would you tell yourself, I am bought with a price? You can speak it out. I am bought with a price. A very costly price. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God paid for you so that you and I might be saved. This is good news. Is this good news? And these people realised this. And then there was the tithe. The fifth thing was the tithe. I don't want to go much into that. But the tithe was a legal duty. They had to pay their tithe. It was part of their Jewish law. In fact, Jewish people pay 25% of everything they earn as a minimum as their tithe. I mean, it all adds up. But in the New Testament, if we come to the New Testament, people say, well, you know, in the New Testament, people don't tithe. There's all kinds of teaching around this. I believe they do. There's a book, if you're visiting today, it's a free book for you on the left. It's a discipleship book. He gives you all teaching on tithing. But the New Testament principle is this: everything belongs to God. Absolutely everything. And what that means is that we don't just go, oh, what have I got in my pocket today to give in the collection? Or give God that. The New Testament is this, that we take what we need to live and give God the rest. That makes sense? Some people think they're doing God a favour by giving him what change they've got in their pocket. I don't want to go much more into that, but everything belongs to God. And we should say, what do we need to live off? And then we give back to God what belongs to him. That's the New Testament principle. If you want to live and give just 10% and do the Old Testament principle, that's up to you. Whatever you do willingly and you agree it with God. Today's not talking about money. Today's talking about those five principles that the Jewish people determined in their heart that they were going to do. Areas that God spoke to them and they responded. And because they responded, they had a personal revival. So what about us today? What does that mean to us today? If we're serious about building stronger, there has to be the corporate together, building stronger together. But there has to be the personal responsibility for our own individual growth. We all have a part to play. It's not about talking the talk. I want to respectfully say to us today, it's all about walking the walk. Do you know what I mean? Do everybody understand what I'm saying about walking the walk? It's about doing what God says here and living it. This is how we live. We walk the walk. There are a lot of people that can talk the talk, but walking the walk is another matter. If we seriously want to see God move for 2022 to be a pivotal year, it's not about talking the talk. It's about walking the walk. But you know, there's some good news. Who likes good news? I like it. We all need good news, don't we? I don't have to do this on my own. Even though I have to take personal responsibility, I have the Lord Jesus living within me. I have the power of the Holy Spirit that enables me to live like Jesus. I just want to unpack that a little bit more today. The Bible clearly teaches us that as a disciple of Jesus, we should no longer live for ourselves. Can we put Galatians 2 verse 20 up, please, Rose? I'm going to read it together, if we can, when it comes up. Are we good? Come in, like buses, Red Edge. Okay, let's read it together. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Let's slow it down a bit. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As a Christian, if you're a Christian, basically what happened was you died, I died, we died to our old way of life, and we now live a risen life. So I'm going to look at some things that are legal and relational, very quickly. I promise not going to be long. Legally, when God the Father looks at us today, he looks at us as though we're dead. What? I'm not dead. I've got a pulse. He looks at us as though we're dead and we died with Christ on the cross. That our sin was nailed to the cross when Jesus died on the cross and it was paid in full. And now we are no longer condemned. Isn't that good? We're dead, we're no longer condemned. So legally, that's a good point for us to be from. Relationally, when we became one with Jesus, our Christian life, when we repented, our Christian life started when we repented, when we said, you know what, Lord, I need to change my life here. My life is going nowhere. In fact, my life is a mess and I need to ask you to forgive me. A covenant relationship starts with Jesus. A promise is made when we say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life, forgive me of my sins. And from this day forward, I'm going to walk the walk with you. I'm going to live the Christian life in the way you've asked me to. Relationally, we have that and we enter into a covenant relationship with Jesus. And we promise to follow him completely, whatever he asks us to do, wherever he asks us to go. Big ask. It's called the big ask. You entered into agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're not a Christian today and you want to, you will enter into an agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ to do whatever he asks. Wow. You know, Jesus' mother Mary said these words, whatever he says to you, just do it. Are you ready to do it? Are you reminded of the promise that you made to Jesus? And in our daily life, what we must do, and in as we're walking the walk, is we daily crucify those things that keep us from following Jesus. We nail them to the cross. We're tempted by something. We walk past temptation, we nail it to the cross. We make a mistake, we kick the dog. We have an argument with our wife. We fall out with our children. We shout over the gate at the neighbour who's parked inappropriately on our drive. We put all those things on the cross every day. Those thoughts that we have, those sinful thoughts. We live daily in the power of Jesus as we put them on the cross. But surely Christianity is about living. It's not about dying, isn't it? You're talking about dying to yourself. I'm talking about us living for Jesus, who wants abundant life, who wants to live a life full of joy and freedom. Do you want to be full of freedom? Who wants to walk in condemnation? Some of you do. Give me an amen if you want to walk in freedom. Some of you do. Give me an amen if you want to walk in freedom. Amen. Well, legally, you now can walk in freedom. You know why? Because you're forgiven of your sins. And legally, you have this option now that God does not hold you accountable for your sin anymore. But relationally, you have something even better now. The relationship is that now you are free to become like Jesus, to live like Jesus. You are now free to live in the way Jesus wants you to live and to become like him. Do you know you have that freedom today to be like him? Some of you are like really bored now. You have the freedom to be like Jesus. Who wants to become like Jesus? Come on. Tomorrow morning, when you get up and you're doing your hair, anybody got a full length mirror? Yeah. Anybody like standing in front of that mirror? Come on. Who likes standing in front of that mirror? You walk past and you go, Just come back. Stand in front of that mirror and say to yourself, I am now free to be like Jesus. I walk in a freedom so I can be like him. You want 2022 to be a year of difference? You can live like Jesus. And relationally, we have the power of the resurrected Jesus living in us to be free. The enemy wants you in bondage. The enemy wants to keep you down. The enemy wants to put chains around you. The enemy wants to make you feel condemned. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus gives you a freedom and a power for living. But remember, we are not on our own and we do not live for ourselves. We have a hope and a future with Jesus, but today we have the power of the resurrected Jesus living in us. Do you believe that? Come on, talk to me. Do you believe that? Yes. You have the power of the resurrected Jesus living in you. So, I want you to get your finger, place it on your heart, and say your name. Robin has the power of the living Jesus living in him today. Tell yourself. Encourage yourself. I have the power of the living Jesus, the resurrected Jesus living in me. Isn't that good news? Again, in the morning, when you go to the mirror, you can say that. It's okay to do that. Stand in front of the mirror and say, I have the power of the living Jesus living in me. However, John 3, verse 30, can we read this? And I've nearly finished today. We put John 3, verse 30 up. You all know this verse, don't you? Without me putting it up, it says, he must increase and I must decrease. He must become greater and I must become less. Do you know that sometimes it's all about us, isn't it? It's all about me. Everything we do is all about me. I don't like this, I don't like that. It's all about Jesus. You believe that? Let's start putting him and giving him the right place. We must become less. If we want to be stronger, better together, we've got to become less and he's got to become greater. And it's as simple as that. See, Jesus has to be the centre of our marriages. I'm talking to Christian marriages now. If you're not married to a Christian person, it's difficult in what I'm going to say. And it's not necessarily the same that I'm going to say, although it is important and I'll re-emphasise what I'm trying to say. But if you're in a Christian marriage today, Jesus needs to be at the centre of it. If you have the privilege of having a husband and a wife that's a Christian, Jesus needs to be at the centre of it. If you are a young person and you're looking for a husband and wife, choose a husband and wife where Jesus is the centre of it. Don't enter into a relationship where false gods come in that influence you. Jesus needs to be the centre of our relationship with our friends. We don't just take Jesus with us to church on Sunday. We don't just pick him up in the car, bring him in with us. And then some of our other relationships that aren't with Christians, we don't take Jesus in there. And we have those conversations, we do things and perhaps behave in a way that we do differently than we would as a Christian on church on Sunday, a Sunday Christian. Do you know what I'm saying? Jesus needs to be the centre of those relationships. He must increase and I must decrease. Jesus needs to be the centre of our workplace. If we want a personal revival, if we're inviting him to come in, where we work, should we take Jesus with us in every situation? With our finances, everything we have, we have Jesus at the centre of that. Absolutely everything. And these are the areas that I'm talking about today. Jesus being the centre of everything that we do. This is a lifelong commitment that we're going to put our seal to, that we're going to make our promise. I'm in for good. This is my life decision now. I'm not changing my mind. I'm in. I asked you a few months ago, who's in? Are you in? Are you in? This is forever now. This is until Jesus returns, because if we truly want to see a revival in our town, in our lives, it starts with you and me, where we take personal responsibility for our walk and our life. You see, I can't do this for you. You don't pay me to do this for you. You don't pay me enough to do that for you. But I can't. And you can't do it for me. You can't walk the walk for me. And you know, when I get down from this pulpit, if Jesus was sitting there now, I might say something like this to Jesus. Jesus, did I bring glory to your name today? Did people see you in me? And Jesus could say one or two things. Robin, there was a lot of Robin Baker in there, wasn't there? There was a bit too much of Robin Baker in there today. Or he might say, actually, Robin, those people saw me in you. Does that make sense? If you truly are in, and you're with me on this journey, and with us on the Oasis family on our journey, this is what it means. Andrew talked about commitment last week. If you didn't watch it, you can watch it. This is something, you're not making a commitment to me. It's not a promise to me. You're making a commitment to God. And what I'm going to say to you now is, what are you prepared to do today? What are you prepared to do today? Is there an area that you know you're not walking the walk? You can talk it. People might think, well, what a wonderful Christian that person is. But is there an area in your life that you're not walking today? Because today is about us thinking about this and making a covenant with the Lord Jesus. I'm in for life and I'm going to change and have this spiritual renewal from the inside. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, he's the only answer for your life. The only answer. People will let you down. I will let you down. He won't. What will you do? Would you just close your eyes for a minute? Again, we're not going to work on emotions today. We don't do that. We're not going to do that. There are times I do ask people to respond, but I'm asking you to think very carefully about what I'm saying. I'm so pleased you're here today in person. I'm so pleased you're watching online. We're so blessed that you're part of our Oasis family. But there's a big ask. What will you do? What will you change? And I'm talking to myself. There's some things I need to change. Things need to be different for me. I need to be better. But then I walk as you do. Father, I just ask today that as we stand or sit here right now, that, Father, your spirit will come and talk to us. Not what Pastor Robin has said today, not the ideas and thoughts that I've brought today, not this message that I've brought, but Lord, Holy Spirit, you would start to work in every life, from the youngest to the oldest in this room. But Holy Spirit, if there are areas in our life, would you touch them today? And would you empower us through the power of your Holy Spirit to live a life that you've called us to live? And to put aside and put those things behind us that are not godly and not good. In your strength, not in my own strength, but in your strength. Holy Spirit, touch us, touch our lives, speak now. And Lord, help us to change. In Jesus' name. Amen.